I think we've joked a few times that one of the few podcasts I still listen to is about retro computing.
Yep.
Do you guys even know what retro computing is?
Yes.
Yeah, Commodore and even older than that.
It's spread out all over your room next door.
Yeah. I got all of my old computers out. And
like a Jackson Pollock just everywhere.
I'm just going through them all. I discovered I have no less than four Mac 2SIs.
Oh.
I assume I'll get one of them going, and I'll just name it Bukowski. Because apparently Charles Bukowski was a big fan of that. But as it happens when I'm doing hardware work, I'm a clumsy guy. I really am. I'm not the most coordinated of people. I used to skateboard as a kid. I was a mess. I was a hilarious mess. And so
I was the scabby knees.
Okay. yeah, that suggests I landed on my knees. I wasn't that lucky.
Well.
So at some point, well, I know how I burned my fingertip. I wasn't paying attention to what I was soldering. Or desoldering in this case, because I was trying to find a rusted trace in my Macintosh television.
Oh.
But somewhere along the line, I did something kind of terrible to my forehead, and I've got this kind of scab right in the middle of my forehead.
Oh, I thought you went Hindu.
No,
that was kind of my thought.
No, my third eye is sprouting, Josh.
Okay.
So now I've got friends coming in from out of town, and I'm looking remarkably spiritual. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Despite all appearances, this is not a show about retro computing, although someday I might want to do something like that. On the other hand, this is a show about atheism, skepticism, the separation of church and state, and politics. Joining me today is Josh. How are you?
Doing good.
And Wes, what's going on?
Not much, man. It's been a slow week.
Slow?
Yeah.
Really?
For me.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Pride Month is over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of holding out because Donald Trump's White House ended June without recognizing LGBT Pride Month. Bill Clinton was the first president to recognize the celebratory month in 1999 to commemorate progress made since the Stonewall riots 30 years prior. President Obama also recognized LGBT Pride Month during his presidency with speakers and events. Trump did issue ceremonial proclamations declaring June to be the Great Outdoors Month, National Korean American Heritage Month, National Homeownership Month, African American Appreciation Month, Music Appreciation Month. I was like, well, it's a weird way to put it. Oh, music, got it. Okay. And National Ocean Month. During his campaign, Trump had promised that he was a friend to the LGBT community and that he would fight for LGBT people.
Well, come on. If Trump did actually recognize the LGBT month, I mean, that's kind of like multiplying by -0 or something. It's kind of...
Well, one of the few things I would say about this guy is that when he was questioned about this sort of thing, he was like, yeah, I don't really care. It's like during one of his... when he was interviewing during the campaign, so he said, well, I mean, do you have... You know, would you have a trans person work for you? And he's like, I think I do. How many people do I have working for me? And, you know, he was always kind of better about that than his, there was the one thing I would say he was better about than most of his constituents in the race.
In the clown car that was
the 2016 presidential election.
I just don't think he really knows anything about anything, really. I mean,
no.
The nuclear...
Right. Well, oh, God.
The cyber.
I was so sick of that in the George W. Bush. There are multiple pronunciations of words. Can we just get over this?
Sure, but not the nuclear.
Okay. Fair enough. Is there only one?
The cyber.
Cyber. Everybody knows what that is.
The infinity.
Well, we'll get to that.
Well, the cyber. I mean, there's chat rooms for that.
Right. Yes. But. You know, it was like the one thing that set him apart, not because he was a big champion, because he clearly wasn't. It was that he didn't care, which is kind of the way it should be in a certain amount of sense, in a certain sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people thought, that he would have been fine for gay rights just because he wasn't going to interfere with them. But now he's got Steve Miller and Bannon.
Steve Miller, like the musician.
Not Steve Miller.
Pence and Bannon.
Yeah.
But his speechwriter, Miller, I can't remember his first name.
And that was sort of the point I'm coming to, is if you want some evidence as to who's actually driving the clown car at this point, here's some evidence.
I mean, well, all that Trump does is, like, mess with people on Twitter.
I mean, well, yeah. That's
what his job is.
Right.
And golf. And park on the frickin' green.
Well, is that it? He drove on the
green. I'm sorry.
He drove on the green.
Golf is a ridiculous sport. Who cares? What's that? Like, does that matter?
It's one of the biggest. I give zero cares about golf, but that is a massive faux pas that you don't drive on the green because that's where you do your little chippy shots to get into the cup.
Well, it's
and that'll make tires. That'll
it's his golf course. He could defecate in the 18th hole if he wanted to, and I'm certain that he has. You heard it here first.
Just think about all the rich millionaires that have to follow after him because he's so inconsiderate. I mean, think of them, Sam. Think of them.
No.
I just want to know why golf announcers have to whisper.
I was kind of hoping, but I would, I was kind of hoping he would just, like, you know, 11:59 p.m. on June 30th. Oh, sorry, forgot. I like you guys too. Which in many ways might have been worse because I was like, this is how little I think of you.
And CNN sucks.
Well, yeah.
He has to get that in there too.
Well, yeah. Okay. That's a difference. I'm trying to stay on topic, Wes. But you're right. This morning he Twittered a video from professional wrestling.
Well, he's been on the WWE's quite a few times.
He's in their Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I have the video.
Yeah.
Where they try to edit the boos out and totally fail.
Yeah.
This is 2013.
But he's in a wrestling match. He's whooping somebody's butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this video that he posted today, it is that video, except the wrestler's head is taken off and he put the CNN logo there instead.
Right. And
then you have a bunch of reporters decrying violence against reporters.
My biggest beef about this is the Washington Post, where democracy dies in darkness, because that's not professional wrestling or anything. We're going on and on about how that was violence against reporters, mm-hmm. when we have a president who was a professional wrestler. Professional wrestling is fake. Okay? They're not actually beating each other. Well, it's not fake. To most journalists,
they're beating each other up, but it's choreographed beat up.
I'm yeah. journalisting. Okay, to gotcha. I'm being John Stossel, so I'm waiting for a professional wrestler to come hit me in the ear.
nobody sure. deserved it less.
Okay, let's just say it. Wrestling is totally scripted, but the butt whooping right. is real.
Right, it's not a sport. It's a performance, and that performance kicks your ass.
Yep.
It just is the way it
you
is.
You said ass.
Oh, whatever. I'll shazbot it out. Clearly, but it's not an actual sport. It's not actual. Like, it's not street fighting.
Yeah, no.
And a journalistic institution that makes it clear that one of the reasons they hate this president is because he doesn't understand context. Oh, the delicious irony! Oh, yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Washington Post, I read it every day. They're doing some of the best work I've ever seen them do. But let's not go nuts. Let's focus on the fact focus on the Twitter thing because he's just insulting people left and right. Continue to focus on that, but don't make hay where hay ain't, because there's enough hay to be had. There is hay everywhere. We are covered in hay. I'm having to take triple the dose of my anti-sneezing medications and to handle all the hay that Trump is handing us.
Well, and let's not even get into your, like, Crazy Joe and low IQ Mika.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we're trying to talk about Pride Month.
Yes.
And now we're talking about Twitter. Do you see what this presidency does to us? Can you? The madness is in this room, Josh. It is in this room.
It is definitely the presidency of segways. And you can't stay on topic with this president
at
all.
No, the presidency of those little scooter things would be great. Can you imagine the State of the Union address where everybody is on a Segway? It would be like roller derby, but with more broken hips.
Ooh, joust. I want to see jousting like this.
I want to see a recreation of Mad Max with Segways.
Oh, boy.
Now, are we talking Fury Road or are we talking old school?
Old school.
Not Fury Road? Because I was going to say Fury Road.
No, I'm talking
slightly
like,
miffed road, slightly miffed lane. Mad Max, slightly miffed lane.
Like Thunderdome, man. Thunderdome with Segways.
Okay. Four wheels enter, one wheel leaves.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, you know, those hoverboards are a bit Thunderdome. I have about 60 milliseconds of experience with a hoverboard.
Splat.
And that's pretty much what happened.
Kind of like your skateboarding.
No, I could at least ollie one out of every 50 times. I've probably logged 100 hours on a skateboard. I have logged 60 milliseconds on a hoverboard. Let's just put that into context. I am not, and that's not even, I'm not.
Aren't they supposed to be self-balancing?
No, they're not. That's what I thought they were. Oh, okay. They are not self-balancing.
All right.
My friend Chad brought one by, and I'm like, and he's like, hey, it's a hoverboard. It's like, what the hell is a hoverboard? And he explained it to me, and I stepped tepidly on it. I'm like, oh, it's one of those self-riding things. Jump. Boom. And I fell. As someone who's a klutz, I did take some martial arts classes mainly to learn how to fall. So I can fall really well. But not when I'm being hurled against the ground well in excess of gravity. I couldn't get my elbow out of the way, and so my lowest rib just took the entire elbow. And,
nice.
And then that was the night before. So I think I bruised it.
Mm-hmm.
But then all the walking around and glad handing I had to do the next day at the 13-hour slog that was the Legislative District Caucus.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
That thing bothered me for a month. What were we talking about? All right, Pride Month. Yeah. Come on. Can we put this in the context of other civil rights things where, you know, the major Stonewall was the major thing, and that was 40 years ago, and can you imagine if we were just ignoring civil rights fights in other contexts that started 40 years ago? Can you imagine how that would look?
We kind of already do.
No, not in the same way.
Not in the same way, but least, to an extent. Yeah. I mean,
was another thing that happened this week. Is
Castile.
With the Congressional Black Caucus, where they were one of the press or whatever people managers at the White House says, well, we'd like to talk to you and have a conversation about this. And the Black Caucus said, no, you're an idiot. Here are 7 reasons why. And it was really well done. I thought it was a really nice takedown.
Nice. Well, everybody's doing a takedown on Trump, but it doesn't matter.
It's a bit different when you are given a specific invitation to the White House and you're like, No.
NBA just did that a couple months ago.
Yeah, they did.
The CBC kind of learned their lesson because there was a college that actually had a photo opportunity with Trump. And it basically, this was the famous one that Kellyanne Conway stole because she had her legs on the couch while everybody had all these.
Bowling Green.
No, and it was not Bowling Green. Bowling Green is not a thing. God, let's not get all Pizzagate on this. Come on, man.
I mean, that's where she lost her legs. It was at Bowling Green.
And then she was taken to Mars.
And again, we're off
to mine for nutraceuticals. Well, that's a preview of what's coming.
She will suck the marrow and gain her legs back.
That's Donald Trump held a ceremony on Friday to announce the resurrection of the National Space Council, to be chaired by Vice President Pence, who Trump characterized as very much into space.
Was he calling him a spacehead? I mean, was that a jab?
Stoner?
He put somebody in charge of the National Space Council who believes that a Bronze Age Mother Shazbot put 2 of every animal on a boat because God flooded the fixed firmament. Let's just put this into context. Anyway, Sam, I should probably read the rest of this before
I was going to say that God
lose a vein.
God obviously lives in an old folks home up on the moon. So
both Pence and Trump welcome astronauts Alvin Drew, David Wolf, and Buzz Aldrin by name. To the dismay of observers, neither acknowledge the presence of fourth American astronaut Sandy Magnus, who issued a tweet saying she had attended the announcement in the capacity of director of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. Just after signing the executive order to reinstitute in the National Space Council, Trump mused, I don't know that you're going to be able to hear this because
it's
definitely a muse, but here it is.
Infinity and beyond was infinity. It could be infinity. We really don't know yet, but it could be. There's got to be something, but it could be infinity, right?
Really?
All right.
We went to Toy Story.
Well, what? I will get to that. So what Trump said was, this is infinity here. It could be infinity. We don't really know, but it could be. It has to be something, but it could be infinity, right?
He did start with infinity and beyond, right?
No, that was Buzz Aldrin.
Was that Buzz?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Which is kind of funny.
Which is kind of Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, that's why you got that laugh. That laugh was for Buzz's joke.
Yeah, and
Buzz went right over.
And that's the whole reason I included it, because if you've watched this video, go watch this video, because Buzz Aldrin's there, and he is the most uncomfortable person I have ever seen.
Wait, even more uncomfortable than the Pope? Taking that picture with Trump?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
His face is becoming a tesseract. That's how uncomfortable he is.
Sucking lemons.
Yeah. Right. No, he's sucking ultra eighth dimensional lemons. It's
now, was Buzz Aldrin the one that punched somebody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Buzz Aldrin's politics, except for the fact that he will freaking punch a moon landing denier.
And he's standing next to one right there.
Yeah. actually he is. Crap. I totally spaced on that. Pun not intended. Oh my god, this is nuts.
Did he clock him in the face?
Yeah.
Oh, the denier? Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in, I love this.
Yeah.
It's been about 8 years ago now, I think. It was a while ago.
More. We're talking 10 or 12.
Oh, okay. Because
I think it was like 2004, 2005.
Oh, right.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have newfound respect.
But he just looks so uncomfortable, and then he makes the Buzz Lightyear joke, proving that he has grandchildren.
Grandkids, yeah.
And then Trump, it wasn't part of his prepared speech. His prepared speech was fine because it was clearly written by somebody else, and here he is making a big deal that he's signing things. Did other presidents do that?
No, not really.
And presidents don't throw beer parties after passing something through the House. I mean, this guy does not care about any precedent.
No, it's not the precedent that I care about. It's the
showmanship
that's his thing, is the cheesy showmanship of a.
It's like he's buying a used Subaru. It's not like he's signing a bill.
Trump is a used car dealer.
But you know, my problem is that I don't know what happens at the White House, because I'm not a part of that secret Illuminati government group that we'll talk about in a minute.
Somehow I doubt they have like signing shows.
Yeah, I don't remember him having a little desk with a presidential. I don't remember Obama having a little desk with a presidential seal on it where he would sign bills like he was, you know, making law as king. But the thing is, entirely possible, and I just didn't care because, you know, and I don't remember George W. Bush doing it, even though I hated him, and I wouldn't care. But he makes such a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And why is it the Republicans are always the people into space? What the heck? It's the same party that most of them doesn't believe evolution is a thing or that science is a thing. And oh, by the way, it's not infinity according to physics.
No.
It's a closed universe, isn't it? Which means it's not infinity. Physics people back me up on this.
But space is expanding.
Well,
what is it expanding into? That's what I've always wondered.
Bone marrow.
Yes.
From Mars. Because apparently we got a good supply of that.
Yeah. NASA is denying all claims that the space organization kidnapped children and sent them on a 20-year mission to Mars to serve as sex slaves in a Martian colony. The absurd claim was made on Alex Jones' InfoWars radio program by guest Robert David Steele. Steele alleged that children were being forced into labor on Mars, sodomized, terrorized, and killed for their bone marrow and body parts. NASA spokesman Guy Webster assured journalists from the Daily Beast that there are no humans on Mars. There are active rovers on Mars. There was a rumor going around last week that there aren't. There are, but there are no humans.
Okay.
And one presumes no organs and no bone marrow.
Well, so these, I'm just going to assume that there are actually children on Mars, and they are the new rhinoceroses. You know, because you want to grind up their horns and use them for...
Are they better because they're on Mars? I mean, is there some kind of, like, oxidation that happens on Mars that makes them, like, super potent?
Cosmic rays, man.
You are in some weird... What the... You gotta back that up, man. What the heck are you talking about?
What? The rhino horn?
Yeah. Oh, rhino horn. Right. Yeah, okay.
Or tiger penis.
Okay, got it now. All right. Okay. Okay, understood. So the children are being sent to Mars.
Yes.
In order to form nutraceuticals.
Well,
they cover themselves in nutraceuticals and then ship them back to Earth.
It's like hearing
so
process.
So that people buy their fake evil nutraceuticals and don't buy my nutraceuticals. Have I mentioned that I love the word nutraceuticals? And I love it, like, nutraceuticals.
It sounds so testicular.
It really does.
I don't know why, but it does.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's like diet shake. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so they ship them to Mars. They absorb all the cosmic rays.
Yeah.
While they are mining and making the places where the future Mars, the real Mars colonists, will live.
Yeah.
All the while being sodomized.
Yes, by...
Well, briefly, until being harvested.
Well, they're being sodomized by the rover. So, like, the tenderizing process?
Is Alex Jones a Scientologist? Because this is not too far away from the Xenu story.
Alex Jones himself is not the one that actually said this. This is Robert David Steele is the one that actually said this.
There's no active volcanoes on Mars, though, to, like, eject the spirits into the sky.
But there were aliens there before.
Well, what do you think Olympus Mons is?
I said active, damn it.
Oh, well, you could reignite it.
Yeah. Okay, well...
They haven't dropped the nuclear bombs into them yet. Or, sorry, nuclear bombs. The nuclear bombs.
We just need somebody with four fingers to, you know, put their hand into the device.
To start the reactor.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. This is not Podcast de la Vista, but we'll go with it. Ah, man.
I mean, if we're talking about kids on Mars getting sodomized, we might as well go there, too.
National Homeowner Month. The guy talks about National Homeowner Month.
How many homeowners are there anymore?
But not Pride Month.
Seriously.
What the heck? I don't know. It's kind of like politics. I mean, the problem with this is that I can't meaningfully... Some days I just can't meaningfully cover it all, because...
There's absolutely... like. Every day is a whole new pile of new weird things that Trump has said. I mean, it's like he tweets at 3 o'clock in the morning.
But this just in, Shazbot is stupid. And that's what this is every day of the week, it feels like.
Trump and his friends are wonderful at doing horrible things and then just having sock puppets on their hands to distract us from the stuff that actually needs to be talked about.
That's a really unkind way to talk about the Fox and Friends people.
Well, they do.
Yeah. Like, I mean, especially in the light of all this Morning Joe stuff. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And come back from the break, a little bit more politics, a lot of religion, you know.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
0. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. So, maybe, you know, not as important as the other stuff we've been talking to, but on everybody's mind this week has been the Ten Commandments monument.
Well, everybody's mind that's in our circles.
Yeah. Definitely. A man who allegedly used his vehicle to ram a newly installed Ten Commandments monument in Little Rock, Arkansas. Oh, Arkansas, not Oklahoma. Yeah, see how I get
Arkansas.
Confused. Yeah, still in the obtuse triangle, anyway. Has been booked on charges of defacing objects of public respect, trespassing on Capitol grounds, and first-degree criminal mischief.
Objects of public respect, really?
I just love criminal mischief. Michael Tate Reed, who has a history of mental health problems, also drove into a similar monument at the Oklahoma State Capitol in 2014 before its eventual removal at the order of the Oklahoma State Supreme Court. Just prior to the incident in Arkansas, Reed posted to social media that while he is a firm believer in salvation through Jesus Christ and confession, one thing he does not support is the violation of separation of church and state. At a hearing, County District Judge Wayne Gruber expressed that the allegations against Reed reminded him of the slaughter of 9 individuals engaged in prayer at Charleston, North Carolina's Mother Emanuel Church.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no sane people in this story.
Judge is not going to let him out of jail ever.
Wow.
We should start a legal defense fund for this guy.
Yeah.
Whenever a monument gets put up.
The only thing that they have in common is that it's a Christian defacing Christian property, and it was a Christian that killed Christians in North Carolina. That's the only link that combines them.
You know, I'm not in favor of this guy. I don't want to be in this guy's corner because the best way to get rid of these monuments is through the legal channels because it creates all that wonderful little case law stuff that lawyers and judges and Supreme Court justices really like to fall back on when discussing separation of church and state.
Well, I totally agree with you. It's still chuckle-worthy.
Yeah. Actually, it's not, to me, it's not chuckle-worthy. You know what's chuckle-worthy? Is in the picture of the fallen monument, if you will, where it's cracked in several places.
Yep.
The very top of the monument looks a lot like a scrotum.
Sure.
That was chuckle-worthy, I got to admit. I saw that on balls. that was about it. But this you know, okay, I'm not in favor of it, but this Gruber guy, not Hans Gruber, what is his name? Anyway, Hans Gruber, we're just calling him Hans Gruber.
Michael Tate Reed, that's his...
No, the judge.
Oh, the judge. Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
The judge comparing the defacing of a monument to the murder of 9 people? What?
That's like, totally devaluing of human life. Does not compute.
Yeah, lost but isn't all that respect for the judge, right there.
Isn't that not entirely the problem with these religious monuments? Is that these 10 sentences mean more to a lot of people than the lives of 10 humans?
Oh, especially after they haven't read them at all,
right? Ah, man. I mean, I can kind of see how somebody would get there. It's like,
really?
Separation of church and state. Not the judge, the guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry, I should probably, you know, make some sort of clue
that I'm
shifting gears.
Yeah,
sorry. Segways, not my forte.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see how you would get there, but so far the system is working, and I just keep working with the system rather than go to prison. You know, is he going for the please tase me bro moment?
This is the kind of judge that would let a swimmer out after, you know, he did horrible things to women.
Right.
What can you say? I mean, I still think the entire thing is kind of silly, but I do agree with Tate Reed in the first place that, you know, there should be a separation of church and state. And yes, this should get done through legal channels. I would love to see Baphomet make an appearance.
Yeah.
Which would still be a legal channel.
That's part of it is that's the establishment of why these things legally don't have a right to exist.
Sure.
Because when other religious people or people with different philosophies want to play along, they're shut out. It's only this one philosophy with these 10 laws, these 10, you know, religious laws. Sharia, if you will, is
talks about coveting.
He didn't
talk about, you know, racism or slavery or coveting, rape.
Because that's all you know.
Sure. I mean, these are the best laws we could ever make, hope to make.
Yeah.
Well, there's good news. So they already have a replacement on order. The guy that's replacing that wants to place one in every state.
Well, of course he does.
He wants to make money.
This is why you want the legal route as opposed to defacing.
Right.
I mean, all that's going to happen is a private party is going to replace it.
Well, yeah, you could just do I want to replace this monument, just start a Kickstarter, it'd be funded in 5 seconds, because it's going to be perceived as an attack on religion, and it's going to be perceived as an extra legal attack on religion, which will just rile them up more. I mean, I'm not pretending that they don't get riled up more by legal attacks, but at least with legal attacks, we have the law on our side. With just ramming these things, we don't have the law on our side. And the law is working.
Yeah, obviously the law is not working if it's up.
The law works slowly.
Yeah, the laws work slowly. You honestly, in defense of this, I'm going to say you don't want a legal system that's extremely fast and tends to expedite things, because the mistakes will multiply
but
fast.
If the law was working as it should, it should never have been erected in the first place. I said erect.
I disagree. Maybe you want the system to function differently, but this is the system working as designed.
Our legislators should have asked, like, Is this a religious object? What is this thing we're putting up? Should it be allowed? No. Okay, let's not put it up.
Well, I'm not saying people.
It shouldn't. There's a scratch and sniff test, and it shouldn't have passed.
It shouldn't. It doesn't pass, and that's the point. But these tests, that you have a group of people who want the religion, at the state level, want religion everywhere. That, you know, in specifically in Arkansas, they passed a law saying we must have the Ten Commandments monument. And so they get that law passed, so they have to put the thing up, and then there's the test that eventually will end up at the Supreme Court, because you know it will.
The problem with that, though, is the Supreme Court right now. I mean, with Gorsuch, it's now back to being a conservative majority.
It'll be interesting, because even conservative majority Supreme Courts generally have come down on the right side of this one, just because of the existing case law.
You mean like with playgrounds?
Yeah. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that religious institutions may not be excluded from state funding opportunities if the programs have a secular intent. This concludes the case of a Missouri church that applied for a state grant to improve its child care center playground. The majority opinion contended that excluding religious groups from certain state funding would discriminate against them based on religion. Washington and 29 other states constitutionally prohibit state funding of religious organizations in some manner. Constitutional scholars expect various challenges to the laws in those states by religious groups seeking government funding of their institutions and schools. This is an apples and oranges comparison, Josh.
Yep.
This is funding. We have case law on funding for social outreach programs going to religious institutions that goes back a very long way.
Okay.
Versus religious iconography on public grounds, which is a much more mixed bag of case law, apparently, but at least tends to lean in favor of no, don't do this. And that would be my response to that.
I just still think that Gorsuch and company are all really, really ideologically bound, too. Because,
yeah.
I mean, we are talking about hardcore Christians.
That's entirely possible. I mean, that is a way this could go. And then that's a thing that has happened before. It's not like the Supreme Court has never reversed itself.
I'm really worried about Kennedy retiring when he finally does, and mm-hmm. supposedly I guess he's staying on for a while.
Yeah,
but
there were rumors last week, and he's like, "No, what are you talking about?"
Yeah, but you know, he's quite right leaning, but I'm afraid of the stupidly right leaning person that they'll get to replace him.
Right, I have difficulty calling him right leaning.
I don't. He is absolutely. He's 80% of the time on the Republican conservative side.
Very centrist, in a very centrist way, though.
He's more right than Obama as a centrist.
Yeah, but we are talking about American politics. The center is fairly right, at least from our perspective. And by our perspective, I mean the three of us in this room.
Right.
Don't necessarily mean. I mean, that is just because I think he's on the right doesn't necessarily mean that's accurate in the, you know, in the bounding box of United States politics.
Either way, the person that would replace him would be stupidly right-leaning almost.
Well, yeah, would if Gorsuch is in any indicator, an idiot. And I'm being kind.
Well, he's an idiot that can write very well. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's known for his eloquent writing styles.
Yeah,
like,
and then when he's in front of other people, he can't speak, which raises some very interesting questions.
But the Senate just fawned over him as far as...
Most of the Senate fawned over him. I saw some of it. There were some concerted attacks, which he utterly failed to defend against. But he didn't have to do anything. He just could have sit there with one of those balls on a paddle and just dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum while Schumer goes after him, and it didn't matter. He would have passed anyway. He could have just showed up in a knit G-string. It would have been fine.
Ooh.
Yeah, he could have done anything.
I see that.
Yeah.
He's a handsome guy.
That's the situation we're in.
That's Josh saying that. Just want that clear. I'm usually the one saying weird stuff like that.
All right, so back to the playground, though.
I mean, right.
So, okay, I will cede that these are apples and oranges.
Right.
So, I mean, just the Supreme Court actually ruling in favor of the playground, that scares me more than anything at this point, because it's just like all of a sudden.
I mean, that's where we are here, is you have concerted efforts to sort of erode away what the First Amendment means, which is a little bit surprising, because the First Amendment was, in the case of Christianity, actually more ignored than not in the history of the United States. Because the first, like the way most people would talk in history, at least from my reading of it, the way most people who are not, say, one of the authors of the document would write about the separation of church and state in this country was basically the, you know, that thing from Blues Brothers. We have both types of music, country and Western.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can believe in whatever Jesus you like, just as long as you believe in Jesus. Unless you're a Mormon, then Early on, there was a lot of Catholic hate, and this is very much a Protestant country.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mormon, they're not really Christian, but they get put under that umbrella now for weird reason.
So you say they're not really Christian, and this is a conversation I have, not to defend Mormons, you know, Pride Month.
I mean,
but
I hear the same thing.
Mormons are sci-fi Jesus.
But what is the standard for being a Christian?
Because I talk to a lot of Protestants that sit there and say Catholics aren't Christians.
Right.
So, I mean...
I talk to a lot of Protestants who say Protestants aren't Christians.
Yeah. I mean, if Catholics aren't Christians, then nobody's really a Christian, because that's your whole continuity all the way back, supposedly, as close to Christ as you're going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 300 CE as opposed to zero.
Right.
But, I mean, if you don't have Catholicism, there is no Protestantism.
Okay, but Mormons... I mean, that didn't start until the late 1800s.
Well, let's take Mormons out of this for a second.
We're talking about talking frogs.
Let's hang on, Wes. I will cut your mic. Anyway, so let's peel it all back and get to the very basic. What are the requirements for a religion to be Christian?
A strong belief in Jesus. I mean.
No, I would actually say it's a little bit more specific than that, because there's a ton of people, some who have been on this show, who believe Jesus was a pretty okay guy. That doesn't necessarily make them a Christian, and who spend a lot of time paying attention to the kind of things that Jesus said.
I would kind of argue if somebody's like a strong proponent of a philosophy, they call themselves Dennett or something like that. I mean, they're free to do that. They don't have to believe that Daniel Dennett is a supreme being of any sort. But I mean, of course, they wouldn't be calling it a religion. But
I'd like to further constrain us to religion. Then let's keep philosophy out of it. What qualifies a religion to be Christian?
I mean, if you're talking about Christian religion, then the triad, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
What about Unitarians?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of religions.
Unitarians are basically that is a anybody can join kind of thing.
Not the Unitarian Universalists. That's a different. I mean, the Unitarian. There are Unitarians who are not UUs. That is a group of people who exist. Where they don't believe in the Trinity. They do believe, and this is so. I'll just get besides the point. Where I think what qualifies somebody for Christianity is
Jesus. They have to believe that he died for their sins.
Is an intimate relationship between Jesus and deity. where there's like some familial, yeah.
Yeah, blended together.
Right.
One is the other.
And Mormons have this, they just added fan fiction on top of that.
Right.
And I don't think adding something on top of it makes it a different thing. It just makes it a different flavor.
I mean, the stuff that we call Christianity now and the stuff that was going around pre-Diet of Worms are completely different beasts.
I mean, seriously.
That make Mormons look like Catholics in that respect. The deviations aren't that big.
Joseph Smith wanted to make something out of a current religion that was already out so that he could do the things that he wanted to do.
United Church of Christ, umbrella. Christian Brotherhood, Reform Catholics, pre-Vatican II Catholic evangelists, Baptists, converted Baptists.
Anabaptists.
Anabaptists, Proto-Baptists. I mean, that every one of these things is a religion of somebody says, we need to make some changes, either new changes or go back to what, you know, either conservative or progressive. That changed the religion.
I mean, I will never consider them Christian anyway. But then again, I come from Southern Baptist, where you know when our pastor goes to the convention, you know they know that all the Baptists are going to heaven. But when the pastor comes back, we know that only our church is going to heaven because all those other Baptist pastors did not get it.
This is
quite
getting.
Right.
We may have to abort this conversation because we're getting in the middle of some of what I suspect might be programming left over from your time as a religious person.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's a fairly somebody who's been kidnapped by Baptists and brought across state lines.
We know that every other person on the in face of the world is going to hell, but our church got it right.
Yeah, what you're saying sounds very much like what I heard in that, you know, in that place in Iowa or wherever the hell they sent me.
I still think of Joseph Smith and the whole burned out region of the northeast, and you know he's just making up stuff so that he can do what he wants.
But there's no doubt about that.
I'm not challenging that, but I'm wondering why that doesn't make why that makes them Mormons not Christian and other religions Christian. I guess that's the source of my confusion.
Christians will use them to inflate their numbers until they actually have to sit there and account for their beliefs.
Well, yeah, it's like the number of Catholics who when the Catholics talk about their numbers, where they include everybody who's ever left the church as well.
Right.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Go to the break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about robots and cows, man.
Yay.
Robots and cows. Can you believe it? Well, probably not.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Hasn't God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And I have a bunch of people to thank and some stuff to talk about. I'd like to thank Jared, Alex, Nick, and Clint, all from the internet. Paul from Ashford, Washington. Rick from Elma, Washington. I don't think... And Rich from Kent, UK.
The other Kent.
Yeah, the other Kent. For meeting Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is the challenge of listeners of Ask an Atheist by Peggy from local Kent to help us keep the lights on. Every dollar you give us goes directly to our show. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side, take it directly to our PayPal page. I'd also like to thank to everybody who is paying attention and helping me out through my personal Patreon, which is right under Peggy's Challenge, depending on how you want to help out the show, but we definitely encourage you to do so. And looks like I might have some stuff going on the Patreon very soon. We're testing out a new on-air light this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Dan made it for me, and then I did some microcontroller stuff to make it work with the studio.
It looks slick.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll do some of the retro computing stuff. So there should be stuff coming up with that. And we'd also, it's Tuesday, I think. Celebrate Independence Day and the arrival of summer with the annual potluck picnic hosted by the Humanists of Washington and Seattle Atheists on July 4th. All area freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, humanists, and other godless folk are invited to attend this family-friendly picnic. Food is served from 1 to 3 p.m. Cleanup starts at 5. Bring your family, some frisbees, a blanket, sunscreen, and a picnic-friendly dish to share. We welcome volunteers, including teens who'd like to help with setup at 11:30 a.m. or lawn games.
Oh, boy.
A 6-member all-girls robotics team from Afghanistan was being denied the visas necessary for travel to a global robotics competition to be held this month in Washington, D.C. The team traveled twice from their city of Herat to Kabul, a 500-mile journey, but were still turned down. Most recently, the U.S. Supreme Court reinstituted aspects of Donald Trump's travel ban on individuals from several Muslim-majority countries, but the court also wrote that the ban may not be enforced against those with a bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. Afghanistan is not one of the countries included in the travel ban, but Sudan and Syria, which are included, are sending robotics teams. Afghanistan's ball-sorting robot will be sent to the U.S. for competition, where the girls will watch it compete via Skype.
Isn't that just lovely? I mean, the girls can't come, but their robot can.
Well, I mean, what's the worst thing a robot's going to do? Take your jobs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what I'm guessing from the thinking who are denying this visa, explode. I mean, I'll just throw that out there. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You go into their country for whatever reason, good reason or bad, you blow their stuff up, and then you treat them like junk. What? Yeah, because that's how we've built our global powers, like Japan. Yeah, because that's entirely how we treated them after the war.
We did help rebuild their country.
I have nothing nice to say about this. I only have offensive things to say about this because this is ridiculous. If you want to prevent terrorism in the future, the terrorism that, you know, you'll never die of, but you're consistently afraid of and write all your laws about, this is the kind of
Shazbot
you want to do.
And I
have good things to say. Congratulations to this all-girls team for building a Shazbot robot in
right
the first place.
From Afghanistan. I mean, this is a place where they kill girls.
Exactly.
Because they're trying to get an education.
This is the opposite of what you need to be doing if you want people to like you.
Yeah. And this completely goes into the vagueness of the Trump travel ban because it's being executed by different people in different ways. I mean, like it's specified, the Sudan and Syria has their teams going, but for some that, and they are on the list, but Afghanistan is not on the list, and Afghanistan is supposedly our ally. I mean, we're still trying to build up their nation, and we're failing at that.
It's because we're not actually trying to build up their nation.
No, we're not.
We did attempt, and it's just a yeah.
Well, I think there. I think there are entities in. I mean, we can't pretend that the United States is a single entity with a single thought.
Right.
Because if that were true, what the heck are we doing? There are entities and there are groups of people, even some attached to governments, who really wanted to build up Afghanistan and Iraq after the wars.
Right. Yeah. Contractors that wanted to make a lot of
contractors,
money.
Contractors, peace organizations kind of understand how these things work.
Yeah.
And just full disclosure, I was one of those contractors.
Yeah. Like
really, if we were like one mind as a nation, we would just be flirting with an Irish reporter, but.
Okay. Is that another Twitter thing? Are you making another Twitter reference?
No, that was a live person thing.
Oh, that's creepy. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely people in the United States, me among them, who thought, well, if you're going to show up at their house and explode everything, at least help put it back together when the party's over. Which is a terrible metaphor, but it's
right.
Kind of how.
But then you're in nation building, which
we're not going to get into nation building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't work for Iraq. It's not working for Afghanistan.
But I would say we never really tried in the way that we... I would say that like the policy and the way we were going to do nation building post-Iraq and Afghanistan looks completely different from the functional model that we know works.
Right, the Japan and German models that we instituted to make them the industrial megaliths that they are now.
Yeah, who until recently were our staunchest allies, who were helping us out on the world stage and all that power production stuff that we're kind of hip to. But, you know, what do I know? Actually, not very much. But the fact of the matter is, look, we have stories now. We have histories. We have history. We have seen what happens in the Middle East and in other places where people who get left by the wayside, people who aren't brought into, I don't know, modern society, they get despondent. They get angry. They look for ways to act out. This is how you create the thing that you are afraid of.
And fairly rightfully so.
And the best thing you can do is to let them into the country and participate. And to be friends with them. Because if they're here to show off their ball sorting robot, they're not.
Or at least to be friendly to them. Right.
Right.
Right. I mean,
don't be a dick.
Yeah. Like, this is precisely the thing I would love to see this.
Yeah, this is a huge oversight, and whoever denied the...
You know what would be great? If just the entire group just went to Afghanistan instead. Screw it. We're not doing it in Washington, D.C. We're doing it in Kabul.
That would... it would take a brave person to go to Afghanistan and not live in a military...
Hey, come on. These are the times of day when it would take a brave person to come to America.
Oh, the competition. Okay, so this coming in from Becky. The competition organizers are showing a video celebrating the team. So at least the people who are running the competition have recognized the absurdity of all of this and just how this doesn't make any sense at all and are trying to make up for it. But I don't know how you make up for a country that says we hate you in this way.
One, you don't. Two, yeah. At least they're trying.
Yeah. Well, they got to do something. I would do something.
They need to recognize the team.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Oklahoma's East Central University paused on plans to remove religious symbols and iconography from the campus chapel after receiving backlash from students, alumni, and even a state lawmaker. A letter from Americans United for the Separation of Church and State advised that the permanent display of crosses, Bibles, and other Christian symbols violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. College President Patricia Pearson reported that the university removed some items, but then stated that ECU will not take further action, either by putting back the removed items or by removing further artifacts, including the cross on the steeple, until a committee of students, faculty, and community members representing diverse viewpoints convenes. The committee will study the issue and give their recommendations, and in the meantime, Pearson assured that the university does not want to presume to embrace one faith over another, and stated that they support all cultures.
Well, it sure sounds like atheists or non-believers will not be represented on this council, because they don't want to represent one faith over another.
Right.
So people of no faith will have no voice.
Right.
I definitely smell that this is a great testing, another job for the Satanists.
Yeah.
I mean, I know certain people don't like them, but honestly, they're the best.
Love them.
They're the best for poeing. They're just showing you how ridiculous Christianity
is.
Do
you still consider yourself among them? Or
I do. I just wish that they were closer and or we were closer to them.
Oh, okay. So not a lot going on in Tacoma right now?
Yeah, no. They will be at Tacoma Pride.
Oh, well, that was a couple weeks ago, I think.
Never mind.
Oh, no. Tacoma Pride is in July. Becky, you were right. Okay.
All right.
I get really confused by things. Yeah. Okay.
I've never done a Pride event. Are they worth going to?
Oh, yeah.
Tacoma's is kind of like a little walkthrough. I mean, it's not an actual parade. It's just a whole bunch of cool little things to walk around.
I'll be honest with you, and my complaint...
A street fair.
Yeah, my complaint is tempered somewhat by how this is a mark of success of the Pride concept, is that I find Seattle a little too corporate, and I don't have as much fun. Where I've been to both Seattle and Tacoma, and I really like Tacoma's Pride Festival. So,
well, I mean, when you think of Seattle's Pride Festival, you think of the parade.
Yeah.
And yeah, all of the displays, it's really nice to see.
The parade's great.
The parade's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the hugs you get, it's great. But it's, yeah, seeing all of the businesses out there flying their whatever banners or whatever, you know, yeah. It's cool to see the support from these companies and such, but... it's a lot.
My own personal philosophies are kind of what I want in my entertainment and my socialization is fairly anti-corporate, even though I'm not against corporations per se.
Sure.
Even as a socialist.
Yeah.
I the fact that corporations are taking part in a big way to make this event as much of a success as it is, I think is a standard of just how far we've come. So my complaint is significantly tempered by that. And when I start saying, oh, it's too corporate, people look at me funny, like I don't understand the context. Like, no, I do. It's just not as much fun for me because of my personal tastes, which have nothing to do.
It would be nice if those corporations just gave a carte blanche check to the group that's putting on the
Some
parade.
Of them do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just...
I think Alaska Airlines does. I mean, they do all their other stuff besides, but they just cut them a check, too?
Well, I'm sure they do, but they're, like, massive in the parade also.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, give them a check, tell them, do whatever you want to with it, and then just stay out of the parade.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, it's like they're trying to make it their own and make them look like that they're actually at the front lines of the movement.
And that
is problematic.
Is it, though?
I mean,
isn't the fact that they're trying to co-op it kind of a sign that at least in certain ways you have acceptance? Where people are trying to co-opt your moment?
Yeah, I mean, but... It degrades.
We are talking hipster levels of things.
I was wondering when somebody would bring up the H word. Yeah, and I, like I said, I'm merely talking about personal preference here.
Yeah.
Ultimately, strategically, as far as civil rights go, I think this is mostly good.
But the street fair is more my speed. I just chill and just walk around. And...
Exactly. I'm very much a street fair kind of guy.
Yeah.
Comparatively. Yeah. And that's all I have to say about it, I suppose. The political end of it is just really window dressing at that point.
Yeah.
It's
good food, cool people, especially on roller skates.
So I guess the end point of this aside is that, hey, Satanists, you should check out this college and get a permanent statue installed and see how it works out.
I'm sure they have a student or two that's attending there.
Yeah, probably. Probably. The Prime Minister of India is condemning killing in the name of cow production. PM Narendra Modi spoke out against recent mob killings of individuals who slaughter cows, which are considered sacred among Hindus, calling such murderers not acceptable. Just hours after Modi's statement, a Muslim man was reportedly attacked by vigilantes for allegedly transporting beef. The man's car was set aflame, and he was severely beaten, succumbing to his injuries at the hospital. Thousands of Indians within the country and around the world staged protests and expressed outrage at such lynchings, which have increased in number since 2014 and mainly target Muslims and those from the old caste formerly known as Untouchables, which are now called Dalits.
Yeah. Caste is also, everybody knows what a caste system is at this point, so, I mean, you just change the terminology and now you have to relearn.
Yeah, people are killing in the name of their religion.
Love that song. I'm going back to the Matrix.
So it's sort of a window into my mind. I get these show notes, and it's, you know, all girls robotics team, you know, where they're learning things, where they're in a place where they might get shot for learning things or not being allowed in the U.S. Religious crosses up everywhere, you know, Trump starting the National Space Council with people who don't believe in space.
Yeah.
And it's all of this just really sad and insane stuff. And then somebody writes that people are killing in the name of, And that's what plays in my head. And I'm like, all right, I got to share this with you guys. Because this sucks. This sucks.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Pretty sure this is mostly fronted by a Hindu nationalists inside of India, where, you know, they want to make it clear that their way is the best way and that this is a Hindu nation and you don't touch cows.
I'm still wondering how much of an effect this will actually have, though. I mean, is this like the Prime Minister of India is condemning killing in the name of cow protection? I mean, is this just him saying a few words, or is there going to be actually anything to back this up?
Well, it's been on the rise since 2014, and I don't think it's the first time we've covered it on the show.
Sure.
And it's continuing. It's continuing to rise, even though prime ministers in India tend to not be from this far right party.
It has to start somewhere. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, just because this is probably not going to in itself actually do anything, it's starting. At least it's getting a starting point. At least they're getting at least a legislative kind of process going to say that you're going to get prosecuted if you actually do anything like killing in the name of cows.
Right. Okay, I'm done.
But
I'll let y'all have one. Now I'm done.
Well, I mean, this just shows the harm of religion, though. I mean, just,
right.
Any kind of like any not just religious thought, but any kind of thought that you don't have to have any kind of evidence or any reasoning behind what they believe. For whatever reason, cows are sacred. People seem. I mean, this gives them the reason to kill. Not going to say it.
No.
But
okay.
Anyway, they feel justified.
Yeah.
And it's just because of their beliefs without having to worry about burden of proof or like what is the actual backing of this.
Well, I also think there's an interesting piece of psychology here that we can take and reapply to ourselves, which is our present context, is that it seems like every religion somewhere is being persecuted.
Well, yeah, I mean, Christianity is definitely being persecuted in Islamic states.
Christianity
doesn't translate to the United States.
But Christianity like runs the show here, but
it
is being persecuted in ISIS. So, but yeah. when they talk about the persecution, they talk about ISIS. Mm. Muslims, they want their own state so they could, but they talk about how they're persecuted. They're not talking about their how they're being persecuted in Daesh. They're talking about how they're being persecuted in places like Myanmar and India and Buddhists who have, everybody loves the Buddhists, right? And then Myanmar, where they're actually killing, Muslims because they want to have a Buddhist country. And it seems like every time, this is just an example of every time religion seems to get the upper hand, one of the prime products of that culture is dead people. And that sucks.
The justification in that they can kill. And basically, it's the whole mentality of kill them all, let God sort them out.
Right.
That, I mean, we have a strong hint of that in America. But, I mean, that's actually always been kind of a part of ideological.
And then I see stories like this all the time, and I have to contextualize it, and I need and say something meaningful about it. And at some point, I feel like, God, I think at some point I have to crack jokes in a graveyard. And that's what that was. And
oh, yeah.
That was just, I thought about not doing it, and it's like, maybe you need a window into my mind, and you could see how I deal with the fact that we talk about this sort of thing day in and day out. And, like, one of the things that I was talking on the show is, like, eventually I had to acknowledge that there were still Bangladeshi bloggers being murdered on a weekly basis, but it was, oh, man, it was just...
It hurts.
It hurts.
It drains. It's draining.
It hurts. We're here I am safe and sound and yeah, sure, America is a Christian substrate, but I live in one of the least I live in one of the most godless areas of the country where I am safe for the most part. Somebody actually would have to choose me and hunt me down if I were to be in danger. Where these people in Bangladesh, the atheist bloggers in Bangladesh,
they're walking around with targets on their back.
They're walking targets on their back every day of their lives. After a while, you either joke or you cry, or both, which is not much fun.
I like a little cry laugh. It's cathartic.
I suppose so. But I think that's all the time we've got for today. Oh, wait, wrong button.
Thank you.
This is Ask an Atheist. Our website is askanatheist.tv. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our email address is questions@askanatheist.tv. Our Twitter is askanatheistwa. Thank you, Wes.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
I look forward to your hate mail. I'll see you guys next week.